sports and politics.
Let's get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Fantasy Sports Politics. It's me, Mr. FSP Vic Gardner. The place to be doing a duke of the duke. Let's get it real quick. Some both of us in harmony.
Damn.
Okay.
That was quick.
Yes, it was. On today's show, ladies and gentlemen, on today's show, we're going to have Jackie Taylor, the sports babe, come on at some point and discuss gambling in sports. We have a venture coming up at the end of the month, and we're going to talk to her and see what she thinks about it, as well as sports in general. When she does pop on. Other than that, we're going to talk about week 11 in the NFL. Picks and sits, starts and all that good stuff. And the bet. Yes, the bet. We're going to talk about several parts of it. And hopefully, I'm going to do this. The person, and if Jerry wins this, I'm going to punch him in the face. But the person
I'm winning.
That can produce audio of said agreed upon bet. We're looking for the dollar amount. We're looking for the dollar amount of a bet.
I know
Jerry
the dollar amount
myself.
Is.
But I know what it is too. I say it's one thing. Jerry says it's another thing. But the person that can produce the dollar amount of that bet, I will send you a great prize. Now Jerry can attest that I'm good at giving away good prizes and stuff like that. So it won't be anything slouchy or anything like that. Unless Jerry wins. But the point is, we're trying to find this audio. It's on one of our programs sometime in August, early September. And for the life of us, we can't find it. Jerry has his version, I have my version, but we're going to talk about that bet too. Jerry's going to be running the show for most of the show because I'll be in and out. But I want to get into that bet first, since we were talking about it's hot and heavy on our topics in our mind. But if you want to call in, you can dial 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. Or you can always join us in our chat room. All you got to do is go to blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Again, that's blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. And we'll try to get to you. I mean, if you're going to be tomfoolering and doing some wild stuff in the chat room, I think Jerry's got the chat room up. Throw it back up. I think I just booted you out by mistake. I think I just booted you out. But
you did. I'm up.
Okay, cool. Sorry about that. So we're going to talk about this bet. And we're going to get it all out in the air, all out in the open, because my cousin, Black, somebody remembers it, but I need audio proof.
Why do you need audio proof? You think it's a conspiracy here?
Yes, I do. But
Victor, any way to weasel out,
because
that you're going to have to pay off. Come on.
No, can I get it out, please? Can I get it out?
Go right
Thank
ahead.
Thank you very much. The deal is this, ladies and gentlemen. Jerry and I, and it looks like Jerry's going to win the bet. I'm not going to deny it. It looks like he's going to win it. But the deal is that I picked Detroit to have six wins or less this year. And if they win seven games, Jerry wins the deal or wins the bet. And it looks like it's going to head that way with their remaining schedule. They might even win the NFC North. Hopefully the Bears will put a stop to that. And you never know what can happen in the NFL. You know,
six and three, man. going down
Detroit,
this weekend.
Detroit might go on a 7-game losing streak.
Yeah, okay.
But if they don't, Jerry wins, right? So mm-hmm. I contest that we made a $100 bet. A $100 bet on Jerry says 100. Now, we found some audio, and the issue is the contention of that audio, because I do say, do you want to double up or make 200, whatever. But I contest it was predicated on a previous bet that we had with Arizona that Jerry forgot about.
No, I didn't. Because let me tell you something. Because before you go there, I have that written down when that bet was consummated also. 7:13 show. The 7:13 show. That was consummated.
Okay.
So don't think I don't know. So I wrote that down because I have it sitting right in front of me, the amount and the date.
Okay.
So
right.
Trust me when I'm telling you. I didn't forget that one either.
Okay. Well, at any rate, I contest that we had a $100 bet on the Arizona game and the Detroit game, making it 200. Jerry says no, that the Detroit deal is straight 200, and I'm saying no, it's not.
If you listen to that 728 show, and you listen to the specific time frame we're talking about, it specifically says 200 with Detroit. It didn't say 200 with Detroit and Arizona. It said 200 with Detroit.
That's
confirmation right there, Victor. I don't know how much more you need.
No, it is not. No, it is not. Because what I'm saying is that
God.
Remember, I came back because when I was in Maryland, just before the season, I came back and was saying, well, no, because the money's got to be this, the money's got to be that. So this is before
I have no idea what you're talking about there because I don't remember that at all.
Well, I do, and I have proof. But I want the listeners to come out here and help us out here, okay? Here's the time frame, listeners. Here's the time frame. From July 1st, because I remember we started talking about this before I went to Las Vegas,
mm-hmm.
from July 1st through September, I want to say 8th, those are the shows that we're talking about. If you can find audio proof in there, I've been going through them all morning, And I admit I haven't listened to every episode because I've been skimming through, and I might have skipped over it or whatever the case may be. But from that time frame, we're going to discuss what it is that took place. And if you can produce it, anybody, this includes Jerry, if you can produce audio.
You shouldn't have done that because I guarantee, I've been listening to him too, Victor. And 728. If you listen to the audio 728, wait a minute. We had already had made that bet already. Now, you're telling me it was got revised. I kind of doubt that because I kind of doubt I would have gone back on a $200 bet. There's no way I would have done that. I find it very hard to believe I would have backed off of the $200 bet because I was very confident in that bet.
Okay, well, here's what we're going to do. We can apparently the bet was consummated between, according to Jerry, that is. This is O.J. Simpson's trial attorney here trying to.
Don't even
try
it.
I'm Johnny Cochran. I'm Johnny Cochran here.
Mm-hmm.
But between July 1st and July 28th is when he's saying consummated. Now, I did say, and I did listen to the audio, I did say when I come back from Vegas, we'll make a deal and stuff like that. But, again, in the next audio, Jerry says, no, hold on, I want to wait to the end of August. And that was in the 14th, 7-14.
Things changed. Because if you listen to the audio, we had already consummated the deal by the 728 show. So it had to be before 728. It could have been on any show. It doesn't have to necessarily be on a 728 show. It could have been, and I forget that was the master plan or the FSP. I'm trying to think what date it was. But it could have been on any show that you called in and we consummated it. And I have a sneaking feeling I have a sneaking feeling it was on the FSP cruise show. I can't say for sure, but if Black knew about it, Black, I have a sneaking feeling it may have been on the FSP cruise show when it shows you called in. I really do.
And you might be right on that because I agree it might be on the FSP cruise show, but I thought it was on the Master Plan. That's what
no.
I thought it was.
No. I'm almost positive it wasn't on the Master Plan. I could have been wrong about that, but for some reason, I'm thinking that you called in and I think we get consummated on the FSP crew show, but I could be wrong. I haven't listened to those shows. I've been only listening to your show, your Saturday show, and my show on Sunday to see if I can catch a snippet of it, and I caught that time frame. Where it, right there, it tells me right there, it says it was a $200 Detroit bet, not a $100.
No,
and you were trying to add on to it with another AFC bet with Buffalo or Miami, whoever it was. And I said I wasn't going to do another $200. I said I wasn't going to do another $200.
You are influencing the jury by giving information. Let them find it themselves. You are tampering with witnesses. That is a federal offense.
Stop, Victor. You're going to pay out. You're paying out a deuce.
Listen. Oh, my God. Can I get this out so we can move on? Because I got to get ready to do what I was supposed to do today.
Go ahead.
I'll bring this up because, yes, listen, it looks like I'm going to lose this bet. But we have two more bets going on. We play a matchup today. Oh, not today, tomorrow in fantasy football. And then we got the Arizona deal. So I'm looking at a total of 300 possible loss.
Four.
Because Jerry's up 100 on me. Jerry, 300 possible loss because Jerry's currently up on me. But if I win this deal we got going on this weekend and then Arizona wins, that means I'll be up 100. And then if Detroit wins, we would break even. But if Detroit wins and Jerry's proven right, which I doubt it will be, then I only owe him 100. But we'll see what takes place. But that's it for the betting situation. If you find that information, ladies and gentlemen, please call. Please, you know, Jerry gives out his email address like he gives out candy to little kids, and we know what that means. But
please, because I have several email addresses, and just because I give out one, it's no problem. I give it out all the time. If anybody wants to respond to me, want to send me some information, give me some whatever. My email address is out there. It's been out there in the airways before. I'll give it out anytime I want to give it out because I'm not afraid of what I may get sent. It's not a big deal.
Okay.
It's only email. It's not
okay.
A big deal. So.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't want him to be able to tamper with it. So you know, make sure that it's audio. You know. You just give us the time frame. Give us the time frame and the show.
What are they insulting me?
I love you, Jerry. That's the only reason why I do this. So if the listeners can give out the show name and the time frame of what they heard, we can listen to it and, you know, come to an accord. Because, listen, ladies and gentlemen, bottom line is, it looks like I'm going to lose that bet. I got it. I'm just trying to figure out what it is I'm going to have to pay out. I don't agree that it's going to be what Jerry said, but it might be. I doubt it, but it might be. So that's what the clarity, and I'll keep looking myself, and I know Jerry will keep looking. So we'll see from there. But bottom line is, we're doing this because we love the game. And JTATM Money, I'm going to let you take over, and we're going to start talking about the NFL Week 11 until Jackie Taylor comes on because I am about to jump in the car. So I'll let you run the board and you bring up the topics and bring up the games, okay? Take a break, and when we come back, we'll be doing NFL Week 11 starting with top game of the weekend. All right, let's go. Let's go to break. All righty. I'll do it.
Don't, Go right ahead, Victor.
If you want to add a little spice to your talk radio, try No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern. You all know and love her from the WNBA. But now you can hear her every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. It's Time Out with Sylvia Crawley.
This is Time Out with Sylvia Crawley. I'm your host. I have a very interesting show lined up for you tonight. We have Mr. Otis Winston. Otis, thank you so much for being on the show.
You know it's my pleasure, Syl.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. Time Out with Sylvia Crawley. Information, motivation, variety.
All right. We're back. All right. You know what? I think I'm going to take another break here. Here we go.
If you want to add a little spice to your talk radio, try No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Arguably, No Chaser is the most, shall we say, controversial show in the lineup. Let me give you a couple of direct quotes. If LeBron took a in the middle of the street in broad daylight, his Boy Scouts would say, it's the greatest one ever. Here's another. Y'all dumb donkeys keep believing what Obama says. Just watch. This country is going to get worse, and I'm just going to sit back and say, I told you so. I can only assume this is why the show is called No Chaser. You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. It's No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor. Information, motivation, variety.
All right. We're back with week 11 in the NFL, where one commentator or one radio show host in my area said where they play for pay. We're going to go first up with the Battle of New York, that other New York team. We're talking about the Buffalo Bills against the New York Jets, with the New York Jets visiting, I should say, the Buffalo Bills. You know, everybody says the New York area only has two sports. New York only has two sports teams. When in fact, really, the only team that really is from New York now is the Buffalo Bills, where the Jets and the Giants play in New Jersey, even though their team name are the New York and New York Giants and Jets. But be that as it may, talking about the stout defense of the New York Jets, along with a rising quarterback from the New York Jets, Geno Smith, and with a rising running back tandem of Bilal Powell and Chris Ivory, going up against the, especially in their own stadium, the Buffalo Bills, who are pretty damn good in their defense. With a backup quarterback for Ryan Fitzpatrick. All right, Victor. The first one on the docket, is the New York Jets at the Buffalo Bills. New York Jets riding a one-game winning streak. So far in the first 10 games, they've won one, lost one, won one, lost one, won one, lost one, won one, lost one, to make their record 5-5 right now. I think it's 5-5, 5-4, whatever it is. I think it's 5-4. They already had a bye, so it's 5-4. What's it going to be? What do you think about the New York Jets and the Buffalo Bills playing at Buffalo, with Buffalo needing a win and the Jets trying to, for the first time, get a two-game winning streak, put back-to-back wins on the board?
Well, you just broke it down. 1-1, lost one, 1-1, lost one, 1-1, lost one. And, you know, what does it say needs to be next? Lost one. Dude, are you not? Okay. So just like the Jets, my son is unprepared. And We're about to be late for what we got to go to. But your Jets, and yes, I said your Jets.
Not my Jets, but go ahead.
Well, I mean, yeah, they win when you lose because you go to different teams. We know how you are. Just face the facts. Face the facts.
No. No. My team, unfortunately, is the Texans, and they're 2-7. My former team is the New York Football Jets, and they're 5-4. Surprising 5-4. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, now surprising. It is surprising, actually. But they're playing against who?
They're playing against the Buffalo Bills.
Well, I told you the Buffalo Bills were going to win the division or be second in the division, and that was false. But I think they're going to end up winning this game because I think the Jets are good, but they're helter-skelter. That's the big part. They are helter-skelter. Since they're helter-skelter, this is their down game. Even though they're supposed to win it, I think it's going to be a down game. Emmanuel comes back in and does a great, great job. And you see C.J. Spiller has 250-yard rushing touchdowns versus the Jets. Hopefully it happens again this week. We'll see. But I'm picking the Bills.
Okay. This is not only the game that's going to be difficult to handicap this week. I'd have to go with the – even though they have a track record of winning and losing, and not being consistent. They've played the Buffalo Bills before, so it's not like this team doesn't know what the present day Buffalo Bills are about. They have their backup quarterback, and I'd have to think that. They're going to break the break this inconsistency, and they're going to be taking this win. I think they're going to take the
kiss
win. Let me put it that way. Excuse me?
Jeff supports them. It's the kiss of death.
Are you saying you're talking to me? Or you're talking to someone else?
I'm talking to you. When you support
What'd you say?
A team, when you support a team, it's the kiss of death.
Oh, stop. Stop. Okay. Well, I think we have our guest coming in here. Hold on a minute here.
Okay.
Let's see if I can get her on here. Yeah, here it comes. Here it comes. Come on. Come on. My board is so slow today. Oh, come on. Please come on. Bear with me there, people. I'm trying to get our guest up here.
I heard TV or something in the background, but you know she's probably at a casino doing something in Vegas, trying to find a roommate or trying to wager on some basketball.
It's unfortunate here. I'm spinning here and waiting for it to come in. Let me put it that way. Let me refresh this page, see if that'll help me.
Yeah, just refresh the page, and it's just like your Jets. Nothing works when you touch them. So
okay.
I suggest you start like
Thank
the
Cowboys. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we haven't talked to her in so long, and it's long anticipated for her to return to this show and bless us with her presence. Please welcome, once again, that sports babe, Jackie Taylor. How you doing, Jackie?
I am wonderful, boys. How are you?
We're doing great. We're doing absolutely great. I know you must be enjoying Las Vegas as you always do.
Oh, of course. It's getting a little chilly out here, though. I'm not going to lie. It took a turn for the worse this week, and last night it was in the 40s. I was not enjoying that too much, but I'm sure it's worse back east for you guys, so I'm not going to complain. Too much.
Yes.
Not yet, at least. I'm going to be spending 3 weeks in New York very soon, so I can complain only like then. But for now, I will stay quiet.
The last time we talked to you, you were feeling under weather. You were having all kind of issues. I hope everything is well with you now.
Things are good, yes. Medically, things are a lot better, yes. absolutely. Thanks for asking.
Thank you for coming on the show, Jackie. This is
Victor.
Oh,
it's so great to be with you guys.
Great.
Yeah,
I got one question, but then I got to drop. And I'm sorry that I got to drop, but you have a great person on the line to interview and go over the rest of the week.
Okay.
Jackie, sportsbooks online and casinos online. Your thoughts about them, and are they successful, or can they be successful in this day and age, especially with them being offshore and a lot of Americans getting on board with them and doing stuff like that? Your thoughts.
Well, to be honest with you, I don't see any reason why anybody would not want to sit around in their underwear and use their cell phone to make bets. Who doesn't want to have to get out of bed and, like, get up and go to the sports book and, you know, get a piece of paper? A, we're saving the earth, and B, we're saving gas, and C, we're saving, you know, having to shower, which is saving water. So, you know, all in all, we're saving the planet, so it's a good thing.
You're eco-friendly.
So, I think it's a good thing all the way around. I wish more people would get on board with it. I have a William Hill app. I have a Cantor Gaming app. And I have a Stations Gaming app when I'm near them. So all of them are pretty much neck and neck. William Hill's usually the best as far as bets are concerned. But unfortunately, they're only available in Nevada and Jersey. So that's kind of sucky. But, you know, I wish there were more offshore betting places. I don't see any reason why the FBI had shut people down unless there was some sort of money laundering going on. You know, if they can set up a relatively simple system like we have here in Nevada where you can go to a local bar and it's simply like an ATM machine, no lie, you punch in an account number, you punch in your password, and then you push deposit/withdraw, and it's like the gas station where you just feed bills into it, and then it makes you an account. Or you can go to the sports book and do the same thing, hand them cash, they'll make you an account that way. And then you can either do the bets. It used to be that you could do the bets right from there, and now they've taken on the responsibility. They've taken off the responsibility of that for the bars because the computer systems would jam up so much that now they lean more on the phone systems and doing it through the computer. But just the same, I mean, that's fine for me because I don't want to have to leave the house. It's a pain in the butt. You know, I can just sit there and do my research online, and then I just pick up my phone, I dial it in to my app. You know, I put in my my account number's already stuck in there as a constant, and I just plug in my password, check my little, I know my terms and conditions, check my balance, go to my straight bet, pick my sports, et cetera, and go on my merry way. It's very, very simple. I mean, William Hill has the easiest one out there. Cantor's is a little glitchy. And Stations is good, but I barely use that anymore since I'm on the other side of town now. You know, I don't see any reason why the offshore betting companies can't make it simple like William Hill has and, you know, set it up such like a PayPal account where they just, if you want to wire the money back, you know, into your checking account, you can do that. And if you have to keep a constant balance, you keep a constant balance of a certain amount of money. You know, if that's their requirement. Otherwise, you can drain the account if you'd like. You know, everybody wins in that scenario. I don't see any problem with it, and I don't know why the FBI had a problem with it either. I never really investigated individually each individual circumstance as far as that was concerned, so I don't know the whole story behind each of them. But I wish that they would get on board for everybody to be able to do that, at least for online betting. I mean, it doesn't have to be open season on the casinos. You know, and people playing online poker or, you know, betting roulette, you know, somewhere in Kansas. But, you know, sports betting, that should be an everything, everyday thing. Everybody should be having access to that, just like it would be that you're watching it on television. You should have access to be able to bet it.
I agree with you 110%. And the story behind it was that Phil Ivey had a big issue with online betting plays, and it found out that it was a Ponzi scheme. And that's why the federal government got involved. But thank you for your insight. We're getting a sponsor at the end of the month, and it's a sports book and casino online. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on it before. It's not up yet, but it's called fantasysportsbookandcasino.com. It'll be up at the end of the month. It'll be up at the end of the month.
If it's what I think I know, it's actually a pretty good site.
Oh, thank you. All right. Well, it's by my casinos and stuff like that, so we'll see what happens. But, Jerry, I got to go. I love you guys. I'll listen to the replay. Thank you for coming on, Jackie. And kick Jerry's butt. He's been dying for a woman to beat him down in the most awful ways possible. So thank you for coming on and beat him down.
Challenge accepted, sir.
Oh boy, we share the same name, so I know Jackie's going to be gentle with me, so I'm not even worried about that. So anyway,
we're Irish mafia, so we have to be nice to
one
another.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you don't want to play. You don't want to play with the Irish mafia. Trust me.
Exactly.
Anyway, talk to you later, Victor. Anyway, Jackie. How long you been doing sports betting, and what is your favorite sports to bet on, and why?
You know, my favorite sports to bet on probably would be NBA stuff. I try to steer away from college basketball because, you know, much like college football, you have matchups where you never see people play each other twice, really, unless it's within their conference, and it's a you know, like they'll play each other during their conference season one time, and then maybe they'll play each other in the playoffs. So you have maybe that much to draw from. But when it comes to March Madness, I mean, I've lost an egregious amount of money a couple years back, and I swore to myself that I would never do that again because
Okay. You
had matchups of people playing each other that had never seen the light of day before, and you're just kind of going on faith, and you really have nothing to draw from. So I try to steer you away from that. College football I have nothing to do with whatsoever. I had an ex-boyfriend who thought that he ruled the moon when it came to that, and he lost his shirt moving to Vegas. So I really don't have anything to do with that. I'd say my backup sport would probably be football, pro football. But I mostly stay pro as far as betting is concerned. But basketball is usually my cup of tea. I try to stick within my six-month boundary of, you know, November to late April and get everything in that time period, get my, you know, supplemental income going during that time period and then wash my hands of it. During the first couple of games of the playoffs, if I feel really strongly about a couple games or some weird parlay bets that I got lucky with last year, I'll go with it. But otherwise, it's just pro basketball during the regular season.
All right. So you don't do any straight betting? You just do? Do you do just?
Yeah, I do. I do money line bets only. I try to steer clear from points because I can't. I don't like to be married to the score, just the outcome. I just want to be the win or lose side of things. I don't want to be like, oh my God, he has to get one more basket. Please don't miss that free throw. You know, and that free throw, yes, if it hinges on win or lose, yes. You know, if they win or lose the game because it's a tie, sure. But, you know, if it's, you know, a 1.5 and they have to get 2, you know, in order for me to make my bet, then that's just too much stress, too much anxiety. I try to stay away from that. I will do the occasional parlay, which I've gotten very lucky with this week. I've gotten 2 4-team parlays that have cashed out really large that I've done really well with. But I do parlays only if I'm really strongly feeling about it and have a good hunch. And I usually do, you know, like two favorites and an underdog. But last couple days I've been doing 2 favorites and 2 underdogs. I've gotten lucky with those 2 bets. So, and they came through pretty big for me. But most of the time I just do straight money line bets. And like I said, a few prop bets here and there when they're offered, which is usually only during playoffs and finals. And that's about it. So I've been doing it for about 4 years now, and I've been pretty good at it. I've been in the business 7 years, so it took me a few years to kind of feel like I had a good handle on things enough to be able to blanketly look at a list and go, dink, 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 that one, or those ones.
So I, you know, you're educating me here because I didn't think that you could make straight bets, win or lose. I thought you had to play place a bet that had a point spread associated with it. You can make straight bets?
Oh, no, you can go either way. It's actually, you know, when it comes to point spreads, your bet is minus 110. And for everybody out there who doesn't really know how that all works, basically, I'll give you a real quick lesson, and you can
sure,
look this up on our website as well. I just wrote up a whole thing today for it, explaining, you know, how bets are weighed and how you can calculate them yourself at home to see if it's worth your while to mess with it. If it's a minus number, you take 100, divide it by that minus number. So it'd be 100 divided by minus 110. Well, divided by 110, which would come out to be about 0.90 something or other. And then you times that by your bet. If it's a plus number, you basically take 100 and you divide it by that number. So say, for example, it's plus 250 for the bet, and that's an underdog bet, underdog team bet. It would be 2.5 times whatever your bet is. So if it's 100 bucks, you win 250 plus your 100 back.
Okay.
So, and if it were, a favorite bet, like say, for example, it's a minus 110 bet, it would be, like I said, 0.90 times 100. So you'd get $90 plus your 100 back. So you're kind of going in reverse by betting the favorite, per se.
Right.
You know, but it just depends on how much you're willing to spend to make it worth your while. I never typically go above, as far as the favorite's concerned, minus 230. So I don't go minus 235, minus 240, because after that it just doesn't become worth it, because it's about 60 cents on the dollar at that point as it is anyway. So you have to bet really large amounts of money to make it worth your while. And if you're really not, if you're just kind of dipping into the low end of the pool and not trying to spend your life savings on doing this, you know, every day, then you want to stay in the shallow end, you know, under 200 on the minus end of things. But, you know, if you really feel strongly about an underdog, hey, go nuts. You know, you really got nothing to lose because you're going to double your bet no matter what if they win and beyond, which is I've been lucky enough to do this week. So so that's a quick little lesson on that. But if you do a point, that's if you just do a straight bet. That's what
right.
I call a money line bet. If you do a point spread bet, it's always minus 110 on whatever team it is that you pick. So if you pick, say, for example, the Spurs to win by 7.5, it actually means you have to win by 8. And if they win by 8, you win. If they win by 7, you lose. Or, for example, if it's a minus 8 bet, if they have to win by 8 and they do win by 8, you just get your money back. It's a push. If the dealer had 21 and you had 21, you get your bet back and you just start over. So that same kind of thing. But point spreads are always minus 110 bets, and, that's whether you're betting the favorite team or the underdog team. So that's why I tend to, if I'm going to pick an underdog, I'm going to go with a straight bet because I tend to win more, and then I also try to incorporate that into a parlay with a favorite. So that bounces off one another, because once you get above three teams and above, it's about three times your bet, no matter what way you look at it. So there's some great apps out there. If anybody has an Android phone, just a little plug for kind of some of the apps that I use. One of them is called Betting Parlay Calculator. Betting Parlay Calculator by freeplays.com. And I love it because it's a really quick little simple system where it gives you four lines. You plug in the four bets, say a money line per se, or you know if they're all minus 110, you plug that in. You plug in your bet and you hit calculate payout, and it literally gives you whatever your bet is and whatever those three, four, two, however that parlay is set up, whatever that is going to end up in your pocket at the end. So it's a really
simple
system. I really like it a lot. It's really quick to use, and it takes a couple minutes just to set up. So.
Wow. Didn't know about that one. That's good to know. I wrote all that information down, so I guarantee it I'm going to be looking into that. You have any more tidbits that you want to put out there right now?
You know, I'm a big fan of to keep up with the scores at night, you know, when I can't be watching every single game. I mean, I have three TVs going at once all the time, but, you know, I can't be on three TVs at once. And I, to keep up, as far as an app is concerned, the score is the best, I think, of the batch. My NBA mobile app hasn't been working much. My NBA Game Time app has not been working. It keeps crashing on me. So excuse me, I tend to fall back on the Score Media, the Score Sports app that they have out there. It's a big S in a blue a white S in a blue box with an underscore of an orange underscore. So that's what the app little icon looks like when you download it. So if you guys want to look that up, I believe it's available on Apple as well, or on the iPhone as well as the Android.
Well, tell me this. Do you still cover the NBA, go cross, be Gallivant and cross country and cover the NBA?
I do, and I will be. I will actually be in New York and Boston for 3 weeks starting next month. We're going from the 15th of December till the 3rd of January, 3rd-ish, I think, of January. I'm doing Boston and the Knicks and the Nets. Although the Nets just continue to disappoint the living hell out of me night after night. I'm so weary and tired of them at this point that it's just, I expected so much more of them, you know, last year and this year. And I thought, you know, maybe I had Oklahoma City Stockholm Syndrome, because once Oklahoma City moved from Seattle, they became this amazing team. And I thought, okay, they're going to move to Barclays and they have this awesome team, and they didn't get Dwight, so that's a good thing, you know, and they have this amazing team that they've paid out the rear for. They got Joe Johnson. They got those two pickups from the Celtics. They got Brooke Lopez, of course, B-Will. You know, how could you lose with a squad like that? And every night I'm just like, who are you people? Like, how do you have this much talent on a team and suck this bad? So I actually started to bet against them because, you know, they've cost me enough money in the past that I've learned my lesson at this point. You know, and then, of course, there's shock and awe teams of the season. Orlando, who the hell is this team? Magic. And who the hell are half these guys? I don't even know who half that roster is. I've never heard of these guys.
But, yeah, a bunch of no-names, right?
Yeah, a bunch of no-names, and they're friggin' awesome. Every night I'm just like, who the hell is that guy? And I'll look at, you know, I'll be like, who's that shooting freak? I've never seen that kid in my life. Is he new? Is he a European? Is he, like, where has he been? Is he D-League? What the hell? Who the hell is that? Never heard his name. I've been doing this a long time. I don't know who he is. And Utah, how did they get to suck so bad over one season? You know, this is a team that every goddamn year they're, you know, third or better every season, and they're lucky if they'll make the playoffs at this rate.
Well, I see Utah. I saw the handwriting on the wall. Once Jerry Sloan left there, they seemed like they went downhill.
Absolutely.
It seems like they need a strong type of coach like Jerry Sloan to get them back in line. It was a shame that he walked away from that, because I really like Jerry Sloan as a coach. You know, there's a few coaches that are still left in the league that are, for lack of a better word, hardline coaches that don't take any bull, and he was one of them.
Right.
And the circumstances, I think he just got tired of it and just walked away. So.
Well, yeah, you know, and I think he took their mojo with him, and you got to wonder if wherever he is in Idaho or Nebraska or whatever farm he went off and retired to, he was like retired to stud, basically, and then put out the pasture. You got to wonder if he feels a little bit of guilt, you know, because you know those guys don't just go away and never watch basketball again.
Right.
You know they're
right.
watching, and they're looking at them going, I could be doing so much better. You got to wonder if he feels a little bit of guilt for walking away from them, you know, but what was going on behind the scenes that made him want to leave? Was it the team not respecting him and just sucking and, you know, not taking him seriously? Was it the management, you know, putting him in a bad spot where he wasn't able to recruit big-time players? Was he just completely cut off from resources in order to make the team better? You know, what made him leave? I mean, he was there 20 years, and they did have a couple of good runs at it. And, you know, every year they're in the top three, but they just can't get the let out of, you know, second round. It never ends up working out for them. So,
I think it was a combination of this year, they're exceptionally bad. Yeah. I saw the handwriting on the wall basically because they weren't that good last year, in my opinion, and for whatever reason they gotten off to a bad start.
Higher than Golden State, and like I said on my Twitter the other day, by default because of the Lakers sucking so bad and Utah just being plain awful, I think They were 0-5 going into last night, I believe. And,
right.
That makes Golden State like default third or fourth as of, you know, the end of the season, no matter what.
Right, right, right.
As of right now, I mean, they barely squeaked into the playoffs last year, and they just put the, they lit the place on fire. They burned
right,
down
the
building while they ran out the door.
Yeah, the reason why I asked you, are you still covering the NBA? Because you seem like the your main way of betting is the NBA. And do you find, and this is probably a dumb question, but I'm going to ask it anyway, you find that since you're covering the NBA, you have, I wouldn't say insider's information, but you probably do, or have a better feel of what these guys are all about because you cover different teams throughout the country?
Yeah, I would say I have a good feel for them. You know, I am in contact with some of them, and a lot of, I'm friendly with a lot of the beat writers for the teams.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'll go to them first thing in the morning. You know, I've already put in a couple of calls as far as injury reports and things like that. If you text out this morning to see what's going on, you know, with practices and everybody's at practice and figuring out what's going on and who's going to be the lead for tonight, because there's a heck of a lot of games tonight and only three tomorrow. So tonight is where I shall make my money, and tomorrow is where I shall watch, because the games tomorrow are pretty much neck and neck. Yeah, I have a little bit of an insider's edge there, you know, being friendly with the guys and, you know, knowing their playing style and knowing their attitude and knowing what gets them down and what keeps them positive and what interferes with their ability to do well. You know, Luke Walton, for example, you know, back when he was playing, when he would miss a couple of shots, he wouldn't even be able to make free throws. Like, he would just become paralyzed, and it was really hard to watch. He would have nights where he would set it on fire, and he would barely miss a shot, and then there's other nights where he would miss every shot, practically. You know, he'd maybe make 1 of 10, you know, 1 of 8, you know, and other nights he'd make 6 out of 8, you know, and it's just bizarre. Sometimes certain things get in certain people's heads. Some people can ignore it. Some people can't. And I know enough of certain people's personalities over time to know where their boundaries are and, you know, when it's time to bench them and let them collect themselves. And if they're going to get left out there, it's going to be bad, you know, and what their matchup style is against other teams, looking at a roster and being like, oh, you know, just kind of blanketly looking at it. I mean, granted, I was 4-for-7 last night on my bets, but it was the four major ones that counted. I mean, I only bet $200 and I won over 500, almost
no, 500. Nothing wrong with that.
So,
nothing wrong with that.
So. It was the ones that I missed that I bet low on, and I wasn't too, you know, sad about, you know, swinging a missed strike three on that. So
right.
It wasn't too sad. Although I was quite pissed about that Brooklyn Joe Johnson shot. He blew his $20 million wad for the whole year in that one shot. I nearly fainted in the bar. I was so angry. But, yeah, I don't know what was going on there. I was just watching that and just stunned. I mean, Brooklyn just needs to lose like they're supposed to and just go quietly into the night. And Phoenix, although they have really no business winning either, they're better than the Nets, at least thus far. And they had that game all day, and they just gave it away. And all of a sudden, I look up, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. This shit's going to get overtime, isn't it? Oh, yeah, great, great. And then I thought they had it, and then lo and behold, Joe Johnson just went tearing up the court. And it was like, I was just like, stay with him. No. And I just banged my – you just see me with my head just dropping and hitting the corner of the bar, and everybody looked over at me, and I'm like – no! And everybody's like, okay, get that girl a drink immediately on me.
Let me ask you something. What do you think, and we're going to go back and forth, betting and teams. What do you think about Portland? Because Portland's been playing
extremely
well.
They're pretty good this year. They're not bad.
Yeah. What do you think about
them? They've got some good talent there. I think they could do some damage. You know, they are a little glitchy sometimes, but I do, you know, I will put them against any team in the East and say they're pretty much up there against any team in the East by far. So, Boston Celtics suck so bad this year. I saw them play the Celtics, and I was just, it was awful. It was just awful. I mean, I can't even believe the Celtics are just – they're in a dungeon all their, you know, all their own making, granted, but they're in the same dungeon that the Lakers are in. And we'll see if the Lakers come out of that dungeon when Kobe comes back, but unless the Celtics make a move, they're staying in that dungeon for the whole season. They ain't coming out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, losing their coach and losing their top two players, well, two of the three top two players, and one of them
and
coming back from
still not back.
Yeah, he's coming. He's not coming back. He hasn't come back yet. And he's coming from major knee injury.
He's going to pull a Derrick Rose. I hate to say it, as much as I love Rajon and I'm friendly
mm-hmm.
with him, I think he's going to pull a Derrick Rose because he sees the writing on the wall and he doesn't want anything to do with those Cats right now. They're a hot mess, and he doesn't want to be looking like a disaster, like he has to carry that team any more than I'm sure Derrick Rose wanted any part of that up until the end of the year last year. And I still don't know why he didn't come back for the playoffs, because they had a good chance if they'd have brought him in. But
since you tell me you're pretty good friends with Rajon, now to me, he's portrayed as a huge knucklehead and a diva point guard. Now I could be wrong. I could be talking out of my mouth or out of turn here, but that seems to the way he portrays himself. And he's got an extremely young coach coming from college that once he gets back, if he ever comes back this year. I think he's going to have problems because that coach doesn't have any street credit. Let me put it that way. He comes from college.
Who the hell gives a brand new college coach a 10-year contract?
Yeah.
What the hell is
yeah.
that? Like, I was
yeah.
absolutely appalled when I heard that. And don't get me wrong, I like Brad Stevens. There's nothing wrong with him. But I don't think Phil Jackson doesn't have a 10-year contract. You know, you've got to be joking. I think they
mm-hmm.
give most people 4 or 5 at most. That's double. That's double what they give most hardcore top-tier dudes. And they're going to be paying that off till hell freezes over. Did the guy get senile and you know, or win the lotto and just suddenly say, you know, yippee-ki-yay, let me write a check to everybody? Like, where's mine? You know, and if that's the case, I'm friendly with them. Like, where's my check? Good Lord. You know, I don't know what's going to happen with that. And with Rajon, no, I wouldn't say he's a diva. I'd say he knows what he wants and he knows what he expects out of the guys. He takes a lot of crap from KG, you know, especially, and, you know, some of the older guys there. They kind of treat him like the little brother because they can walk all over him. What a lot of people don't know about Rajon is that he's very quiet. He's
mm-hmm.
very reserved. He's very quiet. He's very shy. And he's very easy to talk to once you get him going. But and he's very polite and very nice. Maybe it's a Southern upbringing. But, you know, with that comes a little bit of it's kind of like a cowering puppy who, you know, is kind of scared of getting yelled at, you know,
mm-hmm.
syndrome. And, you know, he's taken a lot of abuse from those guys for a long time. And maybe now that they're gone, he gets to run the show a little bit more, so we'll see what
mm-hmm.
happens. But he doesn't have a whole lot to work with, so that's really unfortunate. I wouldn't say he's a diva, but I would say that he's kind of tired of taking everybody's crap.
Right.
So in that sense, you know, anybody can be a diva because you snap after you're tired of getting yelled at for it not being all your fault after a while. And everybody expects so much out of you at being so young. And these guys have been around. They've got 10 years tenure on them. So any that could happen to anybody, I think. I think he's a little bit misunderstood in that regard.
Okay. Do you play every day? How do you pick your games? Let me put it that way. Those two questions there. Do you play every day?
It's more about matchups. It's more about matchups. And I try to every day, you know. Sundays and Thursdays are obviously really light, and they're always usually pretty solid matchups. So they're very tough to call. You know, they're very neck and neck. So, you know, because they're high-end ESPN games and high-end TNT games, and, of course, Shaq
mm-hmm.
and the Fool. Who doesn't love Shaq and the Fool? My favorite TV show alive. otherwise known as the Jail to Bill McGee bloopers reel, as I call it. It's my favorite show on TV. I live Thursdays just for that in and of itself. But I usually try to bet every day because, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturdays are all heavy game days. There's at least 8 to 12 games. So there's at least something to pick from, and there's usually at least two or three matchups that I can pick out that I can say, oh, yeah, sure, I'll take that. I'll take that action. But, yeah, like I said, Thursdays and Sundays really like games, usually three games, maybe four tops. And I try to stay away from those because those are really good matchups. So they're going to be down to the wire, nail biters every second, and you find yourself having palpitations and panic attacks, and you need lots of alcohol for that. So it's really not good for me to be drinking as much as I would be if that was the situation. So I try to just settle in with an iced tea on Thursdays and Sundays now.
Do you pick a region? Do you like the Western Conference versus the Eastern Conference? Play games in the Western Conference, teams that play each
I
other,
do.
Or the you do? Yeah.
Yeah,
what
I
do.
Do
you
like
prefer play,
quite a bit.
You like the games in the Western Conference versus the Eastern Conference, or vice versa?
It just depends, you know. I love watching the Western Conference guys because they're so much more ballsy. You know, they're real
mm-hmm.
Rucker Park kind of playground ballers. I used to
mm-hmm.
think it was going to be like the 76ers and the Pistons. You know, granted it was the old school Pistons and the 76ers, old school 76ers who were like that, not so much the new ones, who would be those kind of playground ballers. But now it's like the Western Conference kids. They're just tough as nails. So
right.
I really enjoy watching them. I still have hope for Oklahoma City, even though they really haven't come out looking as shiny as I thought they would out the gate. Golden State, of course, has set the place on fire, and they're incredible this year, just as they were last year. Clippers look great, yeah, you know, 9-9 out. They look terrific. Portland, I feel, looks pretty terrific. Dallas, I'm still a little on the fence about. Houston, me, I'm on the fence as well about them because, you know, Dwight's just stinking up the joint as he typically tends to do. That's why he's on his own little traveling. Yeah, he can't stay in one place too long. He has fidget syndrome. Sacramento, I love Isaiah Thomas, but they don't look as well as I thought they could this year. They're kind of like the Nets for me. They're a little bit disappointing. And Phoenix, I really didn't think was going to be as good as they are this year, but they are. I didn't think they would be good at all, but the Morris brothers look good. You know, Goran Dragic last night, he looked incredible, which, you know, leave it to me to be the last person to call a European the star of the team because that's, you know, me. That's the last thing that ever comes out of my mouth usually.
Right.
But he looked amazing last night. And then, you know, there's just lesser teams in the East this year that I really have a lot of respect for. I'm shocked at Charlotte. I really am. I mean, I've bet them a few times. And they've won, and I've just been like, wait a second. Okay, hold on. What turned this around? Because they didn't make any acquisitions that were major. Maybe they just finally took it out of first gear. I don't know.
Right.
But 76ers, I'm still having hope for with buying them back. I think they all just need a little time to gel. I think they're going to be okay. Atlanta, still a hot mess. Can't even get there with that at all. Can't even wrap my head around that. Cleveland, I had such high hopes for my boy Anthony Bennett, but he has curses, the number one pick syndrome, a la Kwame Butterfingers Brown, and he's about 1 for 39 at this point, I believe. I don't even know.
Yeah, yeah, he's been pretty bad.
Yeah, he's been absolutely awful, and it's just uh-huh. heartbreaking to see because he's just not that guy. I don't know if he's just paralyzed by the fear of it all or too much too soon, which, I mean, I doubt that, but he's just been awful. I just don't know what it is. That maybe he's not totally recovered from the injury, even though he said he was, and I've talked to him multiple times since he left. He needs a Chipotle burrito. It's, you know, that's going to be his non-kryptonite. He loves Chipotle burritos. As a matter of fact, I don't know if everybody knows that, but no, that's a common thing. But that's he's a big Chipotle burrito fan, and I promised I'd bring him one.
Okay.
It needs to be sooner rather than later, apparently, because he needs to get the lead out. So it's just it's a mess over there on the East Coast. Miami,
okay.
You know, one night I looked at Miami, and they were minus 2,000. against somebody, and I'm going, is that, what do you win, 2 cents if you bet $100, I think?
Right,
what
right.
is that? I really
yeah,
think you
crazy.
Win, like, 2 pennies. It's ridiculous.
So there's some teams that you definitely stay away from altogether
yeah.
that you won't put anything on it because of the fact
yeah.
that you won't get any money back to speak of. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, unless I'm going to put them into a parlay with a couple of other things, you know,
mm-hmm.
but usually it's only because I'll throw them in as the fourth leg just because it's so obvious, and I tend to win maybe 20 or 30 bucks extra on a $50 bet just because it's a fourth leg and a fourth option, you know.
Right.
It's not really that big of a deal, but, you know, it doesn't exponentially increase my bet. Let's just put it that way. It just gives
all
it
right.
a little bit of kick.
Let's back up for a minute here. You talked about a few teams in the West, and I'm going to give you a person's name, and you give me what your opinion on him going to that team. Doc
okay.
Rivers.
I love it. I love it. I felt like Boston was kind of needing a change-up. I don't think he's one of those guys who really wants to start from the ground up. He's better off working with talent, and Clippers are nothing but talent. And him and Tyronn Lue were doing incredible things over there, and I wish the Clippers all the best of luck. I love it. And I love having Doc and Ty closer to me now, and I don't have to schlep all the way across the universe to see them, you know, once or twice a year. I get to see them probably 10 times this year. So they're great guys, and I respect them so immensely, and they're going to do incredible things with the Clippers this year. I could see the Clippers making it even maybe to the finals of the Western Conference.
Well, we're going to stay out in the West. You had mentioned him. Dwight Howard.
Hot ass mess, one trick pony. Three words for you.
Okay.
Nightmare. Here's another three words.
Yeah, I'm not a big Dwight. In fact, I'm really... I think he's way overhyped. He's a big baby. Plain and simple, I can't put it any other way. I just do not like the guy. All he has is height, and that's basically his selling point. Because to me, he's a hot mess. Just like you said, he doesn't have too much of his game other than that. Anyway, another big man, which I think is we're going to the East now. Andrew Bynum.
Andrew Bynum. Not as good as I was expecting this year, but still promising. I would say still has time to develop and... still has time to bring the 76ers around. He's a lot better than people give him credit for. And he has a lot more skills than Dwight Howard times three. So I think it was a good move for him. I was sad to see him go to the 76ers, but once they started putting pieces together of the 76ers that they did, I think they put together a solid team there that really has some potential, especially since the East is just falling apart this season.
Mm-hmm. All right. How about this one? Meta World Peace to the Knicks.
Wow. I was really surprised at that, to be honest with you. It seems kind of like he's a second option now, whereas he could have been much more of a leadership role at the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if this is the first signs that we're seeing of him being put out to pasture, and people are thinking he's a little washed up or a little too much to handle, and they threw him out to New York to maybe correct some of his attitude problems, and maybe some of his way of thinking. With this Lakers team this year, he wasn't going to do any damage whatsoever. But with the Knicks, at least, you've got a solid team surrounding him that are going to really snap him back in line and say, no, you will play hard, and here's why. Because we go out there and put 110% on the court every night. And although the Lakers kids might do that, that's what they are. They're kids. You know, the first team acquisition this season, in the offseason for the Lakers, was Robert Sacre, who was in number 50 for the ex-Celtics and now the new Lakers, who was
right.
A B-list nightmare and a reject then and still is a reject now. I mean, you obviously saw from the very beginning the writing on the wall as far as where that team's direction was heading from the very start. So they weren't concerned with holding on to their talent. They were concerned with working with, you know, rebuilding at this point and trying to just hang on to Kobe a couple more years.
Okay, we're going to go back out.
I'm surprised that they got rid of Meta, but I think that that was a safe decision because I don't think he was playing to his potential out here.
Well, yeah, you're probably right about that. We're going back out west, and you have mentioned the team. I'm going to mention the person on that team, Andre Iguodala.
Iggy Pop. I love Iggy Pop. You know, Iggy's a solid player. You know, he's a baller. He's one of those guys who will go out there and play so hard for you. Give 100% every night, 110% every night. He's a great role model for some of those young kids at Golden State. And, you know, I've liked him for so long. I've worked with him on Team USA for years. And he's just got a good attitude. He's got a good work attitude. He's got a good work ethic. And I think he's a good seasoned veteran, just what they need for that squad. And he's a guy who can surprise you with some big numbers some nights. And he goes out there and he gives you as much as he can, as many minutes as he can, and as many points as, you know, as needed. And sometimes comes in with the shocker, you know, the 32 night nights where you're like, I can't believe he still has that in him at his age.
And I'm going to do a duo here. Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett.
Oh, God. You know how much I hate Paul Pierce. You had to go there, didn't you?
Yes, I did. That's why I saved that for last.
You saved it for last for a reason, Gary. Good call. Good call. Well, you know, KG is not as usual his mouthy self, and the Nets are not as good as they were hyped to be. So it's really hard to say, you know. At this point, you know, the Nets look like they need to be put out the pasture. I don't know what the hell's the matter with them that they can't get they just can't figure it out. They've got all that talent. Like I said, they've got all that talent there. They got Joe Johnson at $20 million. They got KG at, what, like 10? You know, Paul Pierce at about 15. You know, Brooke Lopez, Darren Williams. They got all this talent. And, that's a perfect five in and of itself right there. And then they got a couple of bench warmers. You know, a B team that's pretty decent, too. And they just can't get it right, you know. It's safe to say at this point that it wasn't Doc, you know, that was holding their potential back.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they got away from him and they seem to suck even more this year. You know, they're washed up, as far as I'm concerned. They're washed up, hanging up. Even, you know, my ex-partner who runs RedsArmy.com, who is one of the biggest Celtics sites in the country, said, "Dear KG, please just retire," on his Twitter the other night. And I was like, dude, he ain't even on your squad anymore, and you're still calling him out. So that says something.
Wow.
Those guys' days are numbered. And, you know, maybe they thought they were bringing in veteran leadership there. Maybe it's just the wrong kind of veteran leadership. KG is, I think he's a little bit of a troublemaker personally, you know. And I'm sure the kids didn't take too kindly to him cranking the radio to In the Air Tonight pre-warm-ups in the locker room, which he has a ritual of doing every single game, home game and away. Every game, he cranks the music as his little hype song, In the Air Tonight. Phil Collins, the 80s song. And I'm sure the kids didn't take too kindly to that, considering, you know, Future and, you know, Drake and Chris Brown and things of that nature that could be replaced with. But I'm sure he's over there dominating and scaring the living hell out of everyone around him. And, you know, maybe that's making for a little discontentation there down the line, maybe a little discontent amongst the players. And I mean, that's why they're not playing so well. There's a lot of different scenarios I could throw around as to what's wrong over there. We could spend a whole afternoon talking about that. But I just think it's time for those guys to hang it up. Paul Pierce is good for, you know, a buzzer beater now and again, and KG's always good to flap his gums and then walk away while somebody else cleans up his mess and takes a few punches and gets an ejection. So, you know, nothing ever changes in that arena, and it's just a question of now who's willing to stand up for him, because, you know, his boys aren't there to protect him anymore, and Paul Pierce ain't what he used to be, and I don't see him hiding a shiv in his sock. So,
oh boy,
I don't see anybody coming to his aid anytime soon.
Before we get back to sports betting, just one other name that just when you just standing up for your boys just comes to mind. You're probably going to know what I'm going to go here with. Matt Barnes.
Matty, of course. I kind of knew you were going to go there. Yeah, Matty's the enforcer. You know, that's what I've always called him. He's always willing to throw down for anyone. It doesn't matter who. He's sort of the Marty McSorley of the NBA. hockey reference to anyone who grew up in the 80s in the West Coast era of LA Kings phenomenal years of Marty McSorley throwing down the gloves and punching anyone who was within breathing distance.
Exactly.
Maddie's like that dude, you know. You don't want to mess with him. But, you know, the Serge Ibaka thing, I kind of went either way on that. That would have been an interesting fight if they would have let the two of them go at it. But a lot of people gave me a lot of flack and said, you don't want any part of Serge. He wrestles lions. That fool, he wrestles lions. Like, you don't want to play with him because he will mess you up bad. And I kept thinking, you know, Maddie's not one to back down either, so that could have been, you know, blood up in the second row, you know, by the time it was over.
Right, right.
They would have needed the Swiffer kids to, you know, get the bleach out and, you know, clear and sterilize the area after that was all done. Who knows? Maddie's just that guy. You know, I saw the tweet the other night about, man, niggas always costing me money. It's like, well, dude, you got to learn to control your own temper there. They may cost you money, but that's just because you're the only one willing to jump in the arena. Just because, you know, you were looking like you were willing to throw a punch, not separate, you know, not go to your mutual corners. I mean, hell, I saw, I saw KD jump in there. I saw Russie jump in there. And Russie's 6 feet tall. You know, Maddie's like 6'8". You know, he's got some considerable size on him, Serge Ibaka as well. And then you got little Rusty in the middle, you know, trying to break it up. And KD comes in, and he's trying to make Peacekeeper. And then all of a sudden, I was pretty shocked at that, the Peacekeepers being CP3 and Rusty, the two tinies. The two tinies jumping in there going, whoa, neutral corner, back it up, boys. So,
well,
yeah, Maddie never changes, though. I don't think anything's ever going to stray from that, even if he's 39, 40 years old, he'll still try to, you know, prove his manhood in
yes,
any way
you know,
he can.
That's something I was going to mention to you, that it seems like ever since he came into the league, he's had a humongous log, not a chip, a log on his shoulders. And he's got to prove it to that he's not going to back down from anyone, which is fine. I understand that. But, I mean, there's a point where you got to, you know, like, you know, back off. It seems like and this is my opinion. Every time I see Matt Barnes on the court, he's looking like, "Who can I hit next?" That's the attitude. Who can I go after next? Who can I really get under the skin, or who can I mess with him physically and mentally next? And you know, after a while, that grates on the coaching staff. It grates on the fans. You know, say, "Come on, you play basketball. This is not, we're not in here for a fight." So.
Yeah, this isn't hockey. Well, yeah. Given that log comment, we'll have to call him Matty Paul Bunyan Barnes. We'll get him a lumberjack shirt and, you know, work it out. Dante, he needs a nickname more than Matty. I've called him Matty forever. So, Paul Bunyan, I'll have to explain that next time I talk to him. See if that, I'll run it past him and see what he thinks of it.
So, I know you like, I think last time I talked to you, you told me you like Kevin Love, if I'm not mistaken. Who are your favorite players this year?
Oh, Kevin's always going to be one of my favorites, you know.
Right.
That's like a little brother to me. I love him. He's great. He's awesome. He he never, you know, he never ceases to amaze me. The other night, you know, I bet against Minnesota, but he had a hell of a last shot, and I was like, you know what, respect. Love the kid. Can't say anything bad about him. He deserved that one. He had, you know, that was his moment. Well, I let him have it. You know, KD, always still one of my favorites. Not as shiny as he was last year. Steph Curry, I love Steph Curry. Big fan of Steph Curry. CP3, Blake Griffin, big fans of them. Always going to be a Kobe fan. Sorry out there, kids who are, you know, Mets fans and like to run over small children. That's just the way it's going to be.
Before you go any further, have you ever interviewed Kobe? And what type of interview in person is Kobe to talk to if you sat down with him?
Many times I've interviewed him. I talk to him all the time, actually. He's one of my go-to guys. He's truly one of the nicest people you'll ever meet. Very polite, always looks you in the eye, always answers your question, you know, centers on you, gives you everything you need, and then moves on to the next person, you know, never blows you off. He's definitely not the Popovich type of interview where he's just like, are you retarded? What kind of a question is that? You know, he gives everybody a chance, is always very polite, very nice, very interesting to interview, very fun, happy-go-lucky, but at the same time, he can be serious and he can be gritty when it needs to be. But, yeah, I would say people just – that Kobe's the most misunderstood person in the NBA. He's not a jerk-off like everybody seems to make him out to be. He's really actually very, very nice. And I've had multiple conversations with him at Team USA, and I'll sit down and talk to him for 15, 20 minutes, and we'll just shoot the breeze sometimes. We'll talk about the kids. We'll talk about, you know, life. We'll just talk about, you know, how does it feel to be Big Daddy around here, Team USA. You know, he's like Grandpa around there now. And he's just surrounded by a bunch of kids. You know, this particular year, this past summer with Team USA, they were picking the select team. So it was all these younger kids and, you know, some B-list type guys, some college kids. And, you know, he's one of the oldest players there. And so he was the new daddy daycare. And he thought it was funny that I was passing the torch. He loved that I was passing the torch from Chauncey Billups on to him now as the new grandpa / daddy daycare of the group, the Team USA boys. So, yeah, he's terrific. I really enjoy Kobe a lot.
So where does he get the persona? Because they say he's aloof and he's hard to approach. Where does that come from?
I think maybe if you're new in the business and he doesn't know you, that might be one thing, you know, possibly. I don't know because I most of the people I'm around when I interview him are, you know, old-timers like me in the business or people who've been around even longer than me and then some. That's really the only reason I can think that he would act aloof is if you were new and he didn't know you and he hadn't gotten used to you or you were new and asked a dumb question, you know. But over the years, he's gotten used to seeing my face, so I'm hardly a stranger anymore. So he, like I said, he's always very polite and always willing to sit down and answer any questions, and you know, he's very captivating and sort of entranced to you. You know, he'll sit there and be very engaging with you, and then next person, you know, we all have kind of a system the way we interview Kobe. There's not everybody talking over one another, jamming for quotes. It's all just, you know, one person, then the next person. Everybody's very polite, take your turn, and move on. You know, we don't jump in and jump over one another. Everybody's like, oh, no, no,
right.
You, and, you know, then you, and then you. And a lot of times, you know, we all want him individually, and he's always willing to sit down and, you know, get his treatment on his knees and, you know, have his knees wrapped up in ice or whatever. And while he's doing that, you know, or getting dressed or whatever, you know, sit down and just shoot the breeze with you. So that could be the only reason I would really see him being aloof, as you would say. And you know, I consider Popovich aloof with everybody, you know, but I think maybe I'm the only person he's nice to. It's very funny how he never has caught me asking a dumb question, at least to my knowledge. He's never made fun of me or, you know, said, you know, what are you, retarded? Or, you know, like kind of gave a snotty, smarmy, snippy answer and, you know,
right.
kind of moved me, you know, brushed me along. I've been fortunate enough never to have the wrath of Popovich on my back. But some people, you know, you never know.
I'm going to give you one more name.
In press conferences, people get eaten alive.
I'm going to give you one more name. It just came to my head. I have to ask you about him because he's just recently officially retired. Allen Iverson.
Are we talking about practice?
No more practice.
No more practice. We're no longer talking about practice.
No more
we're
practice.
We're definitely officially no longer talking about practice. Yeah, that's one of my best-selling shirts on my website. It just says talking about practice and a big basketball on it. So I feel sorry for him. He really let himself go. He got into drugs and drinking and really didn't know what – he never prepared for life after basketball. He had all these baby mamas. He was very reckless with his money, his lifestyle, his investments, his women, his children, everything. And it's cost him dearly. You know, it's cost him respect in the industry. He's obviously not, you know, he's sort of persona non grata and definitely not the kind of guy you want as your broadcasting buddy.
Right.
So where do you go from here after that? Unless you're prepared to just live off the land, so to speak, you know, with all your money that you set aside as time went on. And he had a lush career, but he also had a lot of hands in the cookie jar, you know, mouths to feed and baby mama's nails to do. So, he really just spent himself into the poorhouse, and I feel sad for him. You know, he was a great player. He was one of the last of a dying breed when it comes to those playground ballers who are just titans. You know, they're speed demons, and they're just up and down the court, and they'll just blow right by you and break your ankles. And you're like, whoop, you know, Wile E. Coyote, just whoop, right by you, roadrunner style. And I feel sad for him. I wish him nothing but the best, and I hope that things turn around for him. I don't know where he goes from here. What does he do? You don't go and work at Walmart from here, you know, and he's
right.
certainly not broadcaster material.
Not even close.
Maybe he gets into producing rap videos. I mean, that's pretty much the only other avenue that basketball players go down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the music world or, you know, the music and entertainment world or the sports world. So I guess we'll just wait to hear what happens with him. A lot of people have speculated that he was suicidal, and I hope to God that that's not true because that would be a tragedy.
Well, it would be a huge tragedy. You know, you hate to see a fall of a great basketball player, especially, you know, someone like Allen Iverson who set the world on fire when he was actually playing in the NBA, and he was a superstar in the NBA. To come to this, some guys, and a lot of them, because of where they've been, what they're used to, can't deal with it when they get to this type of situation, and they feel that this is the only avenue that they can take is to take themselves out, which is unfortunate. All right, excuse me. We got about 6 minutes left in the show. One last thing I wanted to talk about is we have some games on tap for the next 2 days, Saturday and Sunday. What games are you possibly looking at, and how would you play them if you were to pick certain games today or tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm just pulling up my my scores app as we speak. So let's take a look at that. I can't find my book at the moment. I don't know what I did with it last night. But I had some notes written down last night. Today's games, I think I'm going to take Orlando over Dallas, and they're the underdog. I'm going to take a chance on Cleveland against Washington, and they're the underdog as well. Miami-Charlotte, I'm not going anywhere near. That could be Miami could screw that game up, and Charlotte could come in the back door. Anything could happen with that. Knicks-Hawks, I don't know if I want to touch that either. Philadelphia-New Orleans. New Orleans has been one of those breakout teams as well. They're up, they're down, they're sideways. Some nights they're awesome. Some nights they suck beyond belief. So, and the same is true of Philadelphia. So those three middle games I probably won't have anything to do with. Indiana, I think, will continue their win streak and beat Chicago. They're favored by 2, so I will take that. I would definitely take Indiana. Houston-Denver. I think I'm going to have to take Denver on that one.
Really?
Houston's favored by 8.5. I'm going to put myself out there and take that one. Minnesota's favored by 9.5 over Boston. I'll take Minnesota on that. Oklahoma City-Milwaukee. I badly want to say Oklahoma City. I'm going to stick my neck out there and put some money on that, maybe $30 or something low. Utah-Golden State. Golden State's favored by 15.5. That's just a tragedy. That's going to be like minus 1,000 on the money line, but, I'll stick it in. I'll stick it in my parlay. How's that?
Uh-huh.
I'll stick that one in on my back leg, on my four-leg parlay. And then Clippers-Brooklyn. Clippers by far. Brooklyn blew their wad last night, and the Clippers couldn't whoop their ass even by 20, I think. That's not even a contest. So those two last games at 7:30, definitely Golden State and Clippers. That's not even a contest. And then
so
tomorrow you've got Portland-Toronto. I'll probably take Toronto on that one. Memphis-Sacramento, I'll take Memphis. And Detroit-Lakers, I'll take Detroit.
So, okay, say today. You have early games, you have late games, depending on when they're playing. How would you play these games? You mentioned Orlando, Cleveland, New Orleans, Indiana, Denver, Minnesota, OKC, Golden State, and the Clippers. You got 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 games. How would you play those?
Well, I'd take the parlay of Orlando, Indiana, Minnesota, and either Golden State or the Clippers, depending on which had the better chance, money line wise, as a four leg parlay. And then individual bets, as I said, on Orlando, Cleveland, just money line straight bets, individual teams, Orlando, Cleveland, Indiana, Denver, Minnesota, OKC, and that's it. And Oklahoma City, they're favored by 10.5, so I maybe might not be able to even take them at any decent number. Because once you get up over about 8, the money line becomes so significantly substantial, like, 260, 300 or so, that it isn't worth it. So that might end up not working out. But, and then, like I said, Golden State's 15.5 and the Clippers are 11.5. So that's 1 point beyond one and 5 points beyond Oklahoma City. So those won't be money line straight bets available. You'd have to bet an exorbitant amount of money to be able to make any money on that. But like I said, those first few I would take individual bets on, and I would do Orlando, Minnesota, Indiana, Denver, maybe Cleveland. I don't know. I have to look. That's kind of a toss-up there. Cleveland against Washington, I don't know. Washington's decent, but Cleveland's been letting me down, and Cleveland has talent, but they're just sucking as of late, so I don't know where I'd want to. Those are two Eastern Conference teams, and I'd much rather put my faith in Denver to beat Houston, rather than put my faith in the Eastern Conference, which is too sketchy this season.
All right. Well, Jackie, we come to the end of the show, and I really appreciate you contacting me on Facebook yesterday, and it was good to hear from you and
Thanks.
Be able to get you on here in short notice. And as always, you're a very engaging guest, and it's always a pleasure listening to you. And we have to do this more often. I think the last time you were on, it has to be, oh, my God, close to a year, if I'm not mistaken, at least
yeah,
6 months.
Yeah, almost.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been quite a while. Like I said, the last time I talked to you, you were very under the weather.
Yeah, I was out of commission from January to March, unfortunately.
Yeah,
so
you seemed like you couldn't kick it for whatever was bothering you. Seemed like you couldn't kick it, and
yeah, it was a rough one. But things are better now, so let's hope that they
good.
Stay that way.
That's good. Well, I really appreciate you coming on, and enjoy the rest of the weekend, and good luck in your betting. And we'll
Thank
talk
you.
To you.
I cross my fingers. I pray that. You know, I don't jinx it by saying it. That's lately I've been saying it, and those are the nights that I end up losing. So
right.
pray that, you know, now that I haven't revealed my trade secrets, that tonight ends up being one of those weird nights where everything goes completely the opposite way and I lose my ass.
Well,
so,
you said at a bar somebody's going to buy you a drink. Just look at it that way. So
exactly. Maybe it evens out in the end. I don't know about $200 worth of drinks, but, you know, I'm going to have to drown myself in that much if it's going to end up losing that much. So
I hear you. Well, you take care of yourself, and thanks for calling in. All right?
Thanks for having me, Jerry. Talk to you soon.
Take care. Bye.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.